Come on.
Hello, one and all, and welcome to the podcast we call The Fantastable, with myself, Steve Nussbaum, in the podcast where I invite my guests to come on and talk to me all about their musical tastes, memories, experiences, and they get to collate their fantasy festivals, which I have christened Fantastables. Unbelievably now, we're up to number 77 of The Fantastable podcast, and this is the final pod of 2021, and what a year it's been. I have had guests on from some of my favourite bands, like Ocean Colour Scene, from Cast, from Embrace, from Flickerstick. It's been an amazing year. And before we start this one, I must say a thank you to Paul from Three Little Wolves, who was my guest in the last episode. So I guess for the final time this year, let's introduce my guest on the 77th episode of the Fantastable podcast. And as anyone who's listening to this probably knows by now, I work at HMV, have done for all my life. I love it, I love the company, and I love having HMV guests on. And if you cast your mind back to last year's Christmas special, that was with HMV legend, Mr. Neil Taylor, who is an absolute legend. So this year, I wanted to replicate that again and get a Christmas-inspired HMV guest. So ladies and gentlemen, please welcome onto the Fantastable podcast. It's HMV's MD, it's Mr. Phil Halliday.
Hello, Steve.
Hi, Phil.
Thank you for having me.
A pleasure to have you on the podcast. I know we've spoken about getting you on the pod for quite a few months, so I'm glad we are culminating 2021 by having you on. So before we start talking about music, I always like to ask guests how they've been over the last 18 months, 2 years. It's been quite a difficult time, very disruptive. So Phil, how has that time been for you?
Bit busy. It's been good. So I didn't, you know, in theory, didn't really have a job for a bit before I joined HMV and was sort of on the outside looking in, and obviously it was a retail business in lockdown or whatever, so I didn't really know what to expect when I joined. And I have to say that most of the time I've been here, I've just been loving the challenge, and it's been very difficult at times, and obviously very difficult in loads of different ways. But as you just alluded to with your own experience of working here, it's quite an addictive place to work, isn't it? And I haven't spent as much time here as you have, but I've loved it every minute of the last 2 years. It's great, and hopefully, you know, we're exiting that period a bit and heading into slightly more sort of predictable waters in pretty decent shape now.
Yeah.
So it's been great.
Brilliant. Fingers crossed. It's been a very great 2 years to obviously get to know you and work with you. Although I know...
1 day a week, 2 days a week.
Although I know quite a bit about you, but probably don't know that much about you personally. Yeah. So let's have a bit more info then. So who is Phil Halliday? Who is the man behind the myth? What does he like to do? Who is he? Tell us a bit more about yourself.
You sprung this question on me the last minute. It wasn't in the email teaser. Who am I? I'm just relatively normal, average, sort of 40-year-old bloke who does things that normal, pretty mainstream people like. Much like you, I've got 3 children. They take up a lot of thinking time and practical, sort of logistical time. Northerner, originally, but been in London about 20 years, and London is home, I guess. Met my wife here, got married here, had my kids here. And, you know, seen a lot of bands in London, and I guess it's sort of where I've grown up, really, as an adult. So I love London's definitely home, I love London. And with my leisure time, I suppose, I like to, when I can, see my friends, have a laugh and a joke, go see a band, if that's sort of something I can squeeze in the diary. I'm a lapsed Leeds United fan. I don't go and watch them very often. I watched a game a bit with my kid. He's more of a fan than I am these days, but even he turned it off halfway through, and you know, he's normally chomping at the bit to watch something on the telly. So yeah, that's probably a pretty banal fact about me.
So this podcast is all about music. Yeah. So music wise, obviously MD of HMV, which is obviously a massive music retailer.
Yeah.
I guess everyone has their own taste. So Phil, what are you into? Is there one genre that does it for you? Are you into a wide range of music? What are you into?
It's very cliched, but I like all sorts of different types of music, and I tend to go through periods, I think, of really being into sort of a certain genre, or like trying to discover it, I guess, and while it's new, you know, hoover up various aspects of it. So, but like, over the years, like, the first things I listened to were sort of predated like Britpop, but Guns N' Roses, I think, were the first band that like my mate played me that, you know, was swearing and kind of rowdy when I was about 12. And I remember that being, I mean, I'd listened to music before then, but that being a moment where I was like, you know, first really became excited by music. And then mainly American stuff then. I know, like, now looking back, there were different tribes of, like, metal and grunge and stuff, but at the moment, at that point in time, it was MTV, Headbangers Ball, like, you know, MTV2, and all of that stuff. And then from that, I played guitar a bit as well, so then was onto, you know, with Oasis and that kind of thing.
The famous G chord, once you learn the G.
Exactly, the G, D, C, and then you're away, aren't you? So that, you know, and then, but actually, like, I think Noel Gallagher gets sort of unfairly criticised for being a little bit, you know, straight down the line. But actually, he, I remember, was always talking about hip-hop records and dance records and the Hacienda and stuff. So, you know, that all of that northern scene and stuff drew me into all sorts of different stuff that I've listened to since. So, you know, hip-hop, jazz, all sorts.
Great stuff. And is there anything that you're listening to at the moment?
What was I listening? I was listening to stuff in preparation for this, actually. Trying to work out, trying to remember if I really liked the record as much as I thought I did. But what have I've listened to quite a lot of new stuff recently, actually. I've listened, the Dave album is amazing. I mean, he's like, you know, like I said, I listened to, you know, Biggie and Tupac. I listened to a lot, and I think he's operating at like that level. Not necessarily sounds the same, but he's definitely cut above. The Little Sims album is great. For me, cooking in my kitchen, I tend to listen to One Extra, sort of DJ Target and Sir Spyro, rather than like putting an album on. So I listen to that kind of stuff quite often. Most days I'm doing exactly the same thing, doing the bedtime routine and listening to them.
Nice. And are there any highlights of 2021 for you? So for me, I think Pressure Machine or the Killers album of 2021 took me by surprise. I haven't really kind of liked much of what they've done since their debut, but that kind of caught me off. I've got Big Colours by Ryan Adams, that has been another big choice for me. Anything this year that, apart from Dave, that you look back on and go,
album that I really liked this year, that I'm pretty sure was this year, I think it was this year that I bought it, because I remember listening to it a lot in lockdown, in the first lockdown, the one at the beginning of the year, was Raph Rundell, which Gary told me to listen to, actually.
Gary Williamson.
Yeah, but I think he's one half of the Two Bears, who are the guys that he's like with the guy from Hot Chip. And it's brilliant. It's like some really great sort of quite pop English songwriting, classic English songwriting, but with, you know, quite beaty, and the production's really interesting and stuff like that. I'm pretty sure that was this year. Otherwise, I didn't answer your question very well.
No, that's fine.
If you won't put them in the email, Steve, beforehand, then I can't be expected to think on my feet.
Brilliant stuff. So let me take you back, Phil. I think we're of a similar age. I think you're a couple of years younger than me. So maybe late 80s, early 90s, having that first experience of going into a music store and buying your first record or single. Do you remember what that was and that experience?
Do you want me to go with the actual one? Or
let's do it.
A more romantic one? I think probably Simpsons Singing the Blues was one of the first ones. Do you remember that album?
Do the Bartman.
I also remember getting given Michael Jackson Bad for my birthday, but my dad already had it, so we went back to the shop and he swapped it for Fleetwood Mac Tango in the Night.
Oh.
So I remember that, but I must have been like 6 or 7 then. But I think the first, you know, when I first got into buying stuff for myself was, we were really lucky. I grew up in quite a small little town, and there was an audio visual shop called George Heapies, much like HMV started out. It was like a TV stereo kind of. And, you know, there was only one school in the town, but there was a record shop, and I used to buy loads of stuff in there. I remember when I sold all my CDs, I could see from all the price tags, which, you know, that I'd bought them for £22, I remember paying. I just paid for a Manic Street Preachers album, which I sold for about £1 or something. But yeah, so there was loads of, you know, I used to buy records all the time. I remember queuing outside there for Oasis albums and stuff. So it's going into Leeds, I think, actually probably to the HMV in Leeds, and buying Extreme, Porn and Graffiti, and Oasis Live Forever on the same day, and it being like, looking back, it was like a crossroads in my life. That obviously, I don't think I listened to Porn and Graffiti more than once, but Live Forever was something that I took away and listened to a lot.
Great stuff. Classic tune. So this podcast, Phil, is all about you collating your fantasy festival. Mm-hmm. Are you a big festival fan? Have you been to many?
I've been to a few. I used to work at a lot, so I went to loads probably in my early 20s. As a punter, not that many, actually. A few, but not loads. Not loads. No, not a massive festival guy.
Have you had any experiences or any bands that you found through being at a festival?
That I've discovered through being at a festival. Yeah, this sounds quite wanky. Can I say wanky on
your podcast? Yeah, of
course. I was at South by Southwest with work, and someone took me to see Gogo Bordello, who I don't know if you know.
Yeah, I did.
And I'd never heard of him or anything, in like, I don't know, like 200 or 300 people in this like outdoor barbecue thing, and they were amazing. The guy's absolutely kind of a, you know, bizarre performer. And also I saw Foles, I think, the same week in a tiny little, they've got these weird venues in in Austin, where if you go into the pub and then you go upstairs, it's like a tiny little amphitheatre.
Right.
And I can remember sitting at the top and seeing Foles, and it was like you're kind of above them. And they, you know, they used to stand in like a little ring and sort of all be doing their thing. And I don't think I'd heard them or seen them before then, and they were like, you know, completely blown away.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a couple.
That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
And what about gigs then? Have you got any memorable gigs that you've been to? Any favourites?
I've been to loads of gigs. What's my favourite ever gig? Well, the favourite one is related to my festival. So,
oh, okay.
So I don't want to jump ahead in your running order. But I've been lucky to see loads of people. Everyone first. So Gizza, at the Electric Ballroom with Skinny Man. I can remember seeing Morrissey loads as well, before he sort of revealed himself to be quite as difficult as he is without, you know. Saw him do loads of stuff. I mean, loads. Sorry, it's not a very good answer, is it?
Right.
I still go, I just like, you know, I think you take it for granted when you're young that you just go to loads of gigs. And now when I go with, I've got a mate particularly who he's very good at buying tickets. So I go with him to pretty much anything, but I end up going to see like Def Heaven. I've seen quite a few times with him. They were always fantastic. And
have you missed going to gigs?
I had a baby at the beginning of lockdown, so
it's
difficult to do that stuff anyway. But yeah, going back, I've really enjoyed it, but I haven't been to many. I mean, I went to Ed for the 100th gig.
Yeah.
And there's actually a venue just around the corner from my house, and I went to see a band called Meat Raffle, who were like the first sort of band that I'd been to see as a, you know, just as a, not work related. And yes, I remember just generally like that I don't go to enough gigs, and you know, a couple of pints and watching a band is pretty much the best way to spend a Friday night. Apart from with my family, obviously.
Absolutely. I'm not going to get you into trouble in this podcast. So, like I said at the top of the pod, the aim of the Fantastical podcast is getting our guests to collate their fantasy festivals. So Phil gets to choose any five acts, one of whom must play one of their studio albums in full, and an encore, which all of his five acts can perform together at the end of his fantasy festival. So it's very simple.
Okay.
Five acts take five time slots. So, for example, in the last episode of the Fantastical podcast, I had Paul on from Three Little Wolves. He collated his Rainbow Rocks Fantasy Festival.
Right.
He held his in Rio. Taking his opening act slot, he had First Aid Kit, which is a good band. Quite like them. They've never been picked before, so that was good. In his Super Seconds slot, he's picked Spiritualized. So only the second time they've been picked. Yeah, good. In his Midway Madness slot, a new band on me, a band called Confidence Man.
Okay.
Which is a duo who are really good. In his pre-headline act, he had Primal Scream.
Great.
Not bad. And then his headline acts like he had Radiohead and had them to play their In Rainbows album. So,
great album, yeah, I love that album.
Yeah, Radiohead, not normally picked that much, but the last couple of episodes.
That's got Weird Fishes on, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm more into like the early Radiohead boring guitar stuff.
Being a hipster.
Yeah, absolutely. And for his encore, he had them all play Elbows on a day like this. So you can have as many of the five acts that you want, get to play one song and an album. So very simple. So before we talk about your five acts.
Yeah.
First of all, you've got to name your fantasy festival and give it a venue.
This is one bit that I haven't prepared very well for, Steve. I put so much thought into it, and then I reread the email last night, and it was a bit like, you know, you should have read the homework instructions before you did the homework. So it's just going to have to be Phil Halliday's festival.
All right, that's no problem. So we've got Phil's Halliday's festival. And you can take us anywhere you want over the world. You can take us to Ellen Road. You can take us to the Coventry Empire. You might want to go somewhere more glamorous. Or
for the venue.
Somewhere smaller, yeah?
We're having it at Main Road.
Oh, Main Road?
In Manchester, yeah.
So how come? Because you're not a Man City fan. And
no.
You're not Manchester.
I went to see Oasis there.
Oh,
For the gigs they did in 1996, I think. And I tried to get tickets to see them at like Whitley Bay Ice Rink, I think, just before that. But I think I was 14 or 15. And but my mum, bless her, spent the morning on the phone. And I remember running back from school at lunchtime or whatever, and she was like, yeah, I've got tickets. So I got four tickets to see them. So I went over to Manchester and watched Oasis at Main Road, and you were asking about the best gigs or whatever, but I still had, it was a pretty unbeatable experience as a young man. And therefore we're holding it at Main Road because I remember it being like just such a great night.
Why was that like your first proper gig?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Like, I'd been to So my dad listened to, not loads of music actually, but he did listen to like Eric Clapton and things like that, kind of stuff in the car or whatever.
Yeah.
And because I play guitar a bit, I used to read guitarist magazines, so I was listening to a bit of like Eric Clapton and stuff like that. So they'd taken me to see Eric Clapton, so I've been to a couple of gigs with my parents. And but that was the first one that I went to like with my mates, and was obviously like looking back now, obviously they did that documentary last year as well. You realise that it was like only 2 years or 3 years. You know, it was a very unique gig to have been to, regardless of how old you are or when it happened or whatever. But I remember, you know, the excitement or whatever, staying for Donkeys afterwards and really, you know, going home and listening to the record and trying to relive it and stuff.
Yeah.
So we're having it at Main Road.
Great stuff.
And it doesn't exist anymore, does it, Main Road?
No.
Leeds and Man City are kind of like, they're sort of similar clubs, aren't they, I think?
Both hate Man United.
Yeah, yeah, they're both cooler than Man United.
Much cooler.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice one. So we've got Phil Halliday's festival. It's taking place at Main Road. So before we talk about your five acts, Phil,
yep,
I'm sure there's probably a few more acts who you like than five and you haven't been able to get them into your fantasy festival.
Yeah.
Any acts you want to mention just to...
There's loads, actually. So Oasis aren't playing, even though they probably should. And there's not, like, you know, I remember seeing Blur as well, actually, when they reformed. And actually, I got to see them at a small venue as well, which was amazing. So they're not playing. There's no bands really. I mean, Suede, Dogman Stars, one of my favourite albums, they're not playing. There's no Tupac, Biggie, or Dr. Dre.
Oh, okay.
There's no, like, Death Row, any of that. There's also no, you know, any of the new school kind of British hip-hop-y stuff like Getz or Kano. There's none of that. There's loads of artists that are not playing. Do I have to give you an order? Was I meant to give an order rather than just...
No.
It's Fleetwood Mac, Guns N' Roses, Nirvana. I mean, the list is...
Wow.
Immense, isn't it? There's no Miles Davis, no John Coltrane, no, just the...
Okay.
It's quite a small list, isn't it? Actually, yeah, like I say, because I didn't even ask you for the email for a long time, did I? At the beginning of the summer, when it's actually been a good sort of conversation point with people. I've been saying, I've been asked to do this thing, thing with work. What do you think? And everyone would have sort of different ideas. But I was, you know, filling a main stage 13, 14 band kind of list at one point. So the editing process was a bit painful.
Yeah, and you only get five. I guess that's the beauty of it, isn't it? There's not going to be anyone or many who would pick the same five as you, especially not in the same order with the same album.
Fewer egos to deal with on the day as well.
Absolutely, you can just manage them and say, you know, I'm doing you a deal here. Right, okay. So, some big acts missing out. Oasis don't get picked that much, actually.
Don't they?
Blur have rarely been picked.
I guess it's like the Beatles and the Stones and Bowie. It's like, you don't really... They're around, aren't they? They're just such a massive presence.
Yeah, I guess when I started this pod, I thought bands like the Beatles and the Stones would be picked
every week.
And it hasn't turned out to be that way.
Yeah.
Like, at all. So, interesting. So, some big acts miss out. So, let's go on to your five now, Phil. So, 2 o'clock, Main Road is heaving. Nice summer's day. Let's have nice weather for it.
So, we're going to start with Sister Rosetta Tharpe,
who is
a woman of the church, obviously. Have you ever heard of her? Or
I've heard of her because... Obviously working in stores and blues section.
Okay, I
know the name, but couldn't tell you anything that she sung or has done.
Yeah, well, so the tune that I really know of... Well, so I've come across her a couple of times, but I remember being completely like... It's been the first video I saw of her blowing me away because she's like in a gospel setting and stuff. Right. And she's, you know, all of her workwear. But she's playing a Gibson SG and it's like...
Oh, wow, really?
Know, completely amazing. But then I think she's in... There's a Martin Scorsese documentary about the blues, which talks about a lot. But her first single was released in like 1938. I mean, she was an originator. But she did a cover of there's like a standard called Trouble in Mind that a friend of mine really loves, and we play guitar to it sometimes. And Nina Simone's done it, and loads of people have done it. But she covered loads of tunes, and loads of people then caught, like Elvis Presley was apparently obsessed with her.
Right.
But if you listen to her play guitar, it's mad. She's amazing. And I thought because she's kind of the root of it all, and a good reference point for all of the different strands of music that, you know, have come out of the 30s and 40s, that she would be a good place to start. And it would be quite a mad sight as well, the first thing on, because she'd probably have, you know, her full band and kind of choir behind her and stuff like that, or playing these mad guitars.
Great shout. Yeah, you can have a solo, you can have her with choir, you can have a band, up to you. You can have it however as you want to. So, great shout.
2 o'clock, there you go.
2 o'clock till 3. She opens up your fantasy festival. She'll play for an hour. Good start. First time she's been picked for a fantasy festival.
She's got the set for it, I think. She's got enough covers up her sleeve.
Yeah, great shout. So we'll take a break at 3 o'clock. That'll take us to 3:30.
Get a pint.
So it'll be time for your super seconds act next, Phil. So who's going to take your super seconds act?
I've got a tough one on the ordering for the next few, to be honest.
Right,
so
okay.
I'm looking at this list, I'm not sure that I made the right choice. But I've got Daft Punk.
Oh, nice one. So Daft Punk, been picked a couple of times. They do get spoken about quite a lot.
Yeah.
So why Daft Punk for you?
Again, going back to like great gigs, I saw them at Wireless in Hyde Park in 2007 or something like that. It was before that disco album they did with Nile Rodgers and Pharrell. Pharrell. And they still had loads and loads. They were massive even then, weren't they? And I can remember I was working actually, so I really hadn't had a drink or anything like that, or been, you know, hanging out. I went straight from work to see them, and they were just incredible. Like, you know, the way they... used their catalogue and sort of cut up the tunes and dropped them in and brought them out and had the crowd completely in the palm of their hands sort of thing. The light show was amazing as well. So because the light show is so great, we're going to put them on at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I think. But yeah, it's a draft set. It's a draft order. No. But Daft Punk.
Amazing. Yeah. Would you have them from that period, or are you going to have them like just play greatest hits set? So you want them to play like
Get
Lucky?
That was Well, that was a greatest hits set up to that point. I didn't really like that album as much as like
the first couple.
As much as everyone kind of was sort of taken with them. So I would rather they did the more dancey stuff that they did that day. Yeah.
Okay. Got some great videos, Daft Punk, if I remember rightly.
Yes. Yeah. Well, awesome from the homework videos. Album. Yeah. Which I remember buying from the record shop that I told you about earlier.
Yeah. All right. So Daft Punk are your super seconds. That they play from 3:30 till 4:30. I'm sure we can put like a cover over Main Roads, Get It Dark in there. And
yes.
So
they can probably fund that kind of.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Extravagance. Yeah. You're right.
So Daft Punk are going to play your super second slot. That'll take us to 4:30. Another pint. That'll take us to 5:00.
Two pints in.
Starting to get a bit sway. Or I would be nowadays anyway.
A bit shouty.
Yeah, a bit shouty, a bit loud. So time for your midway madness act at 5:00, Phil. So who are you going to have for your midway madness act?
Dizzy Rascal.
Oh, good shout. First time Dizzy Rascal's been picked for a fantasy festival.
Yeah, well, he's a bit of a fantasy, not fantasy, but he's a bit of a festival staple these days, I think, isn't he?
I did see him at festivals on telly, and it looked like he had like the entire audience. He had all the indie kids, he had all the hip-hop kids, he had all like the metal kids who were all into it. He's a good like all-rounder.
Well, he is. I'm not going to let him do some of the tunes from his middle two albums. So those he's going to do Boy in the Corner, Maths and English, or his latest album, which was really great, E3F, which is his more sort of grimy stuff. But I think when he does a festival, he does those dance tunes that he did.
Like Bonkers.
Bonkers
and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, he can do that, actually. It'd be fun, wouldn't it, I suppose?
It would be fun.
So I'm taking myself too seriously. They're not really what I would listen to of his, but I can imagine they're fun on a night out. But yeah, I think he's a pioneer, and I haven't actually seen him live, I don't think, but I think he's great. And also he could bring in, like, you know, the guests that he could bring in would be pretty fantastic as well. So a lot of the people that I haven't been able to book, I think Dizzy might be able to persuade to come and do a few bars with him.
Sure, fantasy festival, you can have anyone who you want on stage.
He's not booked on the proviso that he brings them. Right, I think there's an unwritten.
Nice to have.
Yeah, nice to
you
have.
You put a new invite, nice to have.
Exactly.
Because I guess he is, it's an interesting point, isn't it? I guess he is like, I don't want to say the godfather of grime, but I guess if Boy in the Corner didn't exist, then grime wouldn't exist as we know it.
It's definitely the first mainstream. Because I was thinking back to this, like before him, I mean, the streets were around the same time, weren't they?
Yeah.
But before that, it was like in mainstream music. I know there's loads of people rapping and doing hip hop, but Massive Attack was sort of the only big band where you heard a British accent kind of unashamedly sounding like. Oh, it was all American, wasn't it? Anything that was spoken word. But listening back to Boy in the Corner, it still sounds like it's from the future. You know? It's kind of an amazing record.
Yeah, that could come out today and you wouldn't know any better, would
you? Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And he's, you know, but his new stuff's great as well. He's a dude.
Yeah, cool. Dizzy Rascal is your midway madness act. He'll play from 5 till 6. He'll bring out a few mates and then he'll finish at 6. Again, another pint. So 3 pints in at 6:30.
I'm going to the toilet now, Steve.
It's going to get messy. It's going to get messy. So 6:30 in, 3 acts down, 2 acts left.
Yeah.
Time for your pre-headline act. So Phil, who's going to be your pre-headline act?
It's going to be Marvin Gaye and he's going to do What's Going On.
Ah, great shout.
Which you did put in your email as one of the artists must do a studio from start to finish.
Okay, so Marvin Gaye has been mentioned a couple of times in the last couple of episodes, actually, after not being picked that much previously.
Okay.
So I guess as a starting point, why does Marvin Gaye play your fantasy festival?
I've always loved this album for years and years and years and years. It's probably, I mean, favourite albums change, don't they, from time to time, but this album, that album has been something that I've stuck with for years. And I bought it in, do you remember Britannia Music?
Yeah, Britannia Music Club.
It was one that I got with that, and I got that. I think I got Dogman Star, Happy Mondays Loads, Bob Marley Legend and the Stone Roses.
Oh wow.
When I was like 15.
That's
so
quite,
I still remember
14
and 15. And but as I was saying, I do kind of, I'm interested in jazz and sort of all, you know, stuff that is quite out of that indie world or whatever, the guitar world. And I think that was the album that, you know, sort of took me in that direction. It's just such a weird record, isn't it? It's kind of, even none of his other albums sound like it. There's like a couple of songs that sound a bit like that, but not another record that he made that sounded like it. And, you know, coming out of Motown, which is all, my mum was down the weekend actually, and she only ever bought one album that we had in the house, which was a Motown best of, but I used to listen to that loads. But it just kind of, you know, it's a really standout, unique record that we listen to. I still listen to it a lot in my house, actually.
It's still very relevant.
Yeah.
lyrically what he's talking
about. Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's just sort of peerless. Or the executor playing on it, the execution, the lyrical content, like even the cover, like, everything about it is great.
Yeah. I saw a live video of Marvin Gaye a couple of months ago, and live, it, like, his Did band he? Are like ludicrous.
There's a good, there's a great, him singing the national anthem at the basketball is something to
watch. Oh, really?
Yeah, it's amazing. And also, he lived in, he went and trained to be a boxer and lived in Denmark, I think, or somewhere for a bit. And there's him, like, I think he was doing rehab or whatever, like, just in the early 80s before he released, like, Sexual Healing and Let's Get On, like, his comeback stuff. He's just running loads and playing the piano. But when he sits down to play the piano, it's like, it's immense, incredible.
Yeah. There's a lot of YouTube clips of him singing a cappella where, right. like, they've always got studio recordings and taking the music out, and it's just his vocal, and you're like,
Mind-blowing,
amazing,
right?
Yeah. Incredible.
Yeah.
So Marvin Gaye is your pre-headline act. He plays Main Road and plays your Fantasy Festival. He plays What's Going On.
I think he'd like it in Manchester as well. I think he'd like, he's often wearing a nice Adidas tracksuit in some of the videos, yeah.
Great shout. So he plays for an hour and a half. He's your pre-headline act. So four acts down, one act left to go. So your headline act gets to play for 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
They get to play from 8:30 to 11:00. So it's not going to be Oasis. They're not going to have their homecoming at Main Road. So who are you going to have in as your headline act?
It's Talking Heads, and they're doing... what's it called now? Now that I'm on the spot, I've forgotten the name of the it's the Speaking in Tongues live.
Are you going to have them play that set, are you?
Yeah. What's it called? It's a...
Do you know what?
I've watched it so many times. I can't remember the
It was mentioned, I think, in episode 71, which was Dale. He had the same album, Stop Making Sense.
There you go, yeah. So he remembered what it was called.
He remembered what it was called. Yeah, he said he went to a screening of that film in a cinema in Scotland.
Oh, really?
And he said they were told to all sit down. And he said by the last song, it was carnage. He said everyone was up. It was like a day in the life, and they were all like screaming at each other and singing it like in raptures.
It's brilliant, isn't it? It's fantastic. And I just think it'd be great, you know, of all the live experiences that you could go and see. I think that would have been quite a thing.
Have you ever seen David Byrne live? Because I know he's still obviously going and doing some Talking Head stuff, and I had a few mates who saw him about a year ago, year and a half ago.
He played the Roundhouse, didn't he, I think?
Yeah, or like Hammersmith. And like, apparently visually it was supposed to be like astounding.
No, I don't think I've ever seen him live unless he's been at a festival or something that I've sort of missed. And I only really got into Talking Heads when I was like 25 or something, 26.
Yeah.
They weren't really a big band that I listened to when I was younger. And then I've sort of really grown to love him. But I know his American Utopia thing is playing on Broadway, isn't it? I think I was supposed to come over here, but COVID scuppered it. But I would, I'd love to go see him.
Do you know what I learned from the podcast, 71, that he was born in Dunfermline?
Was he?
Yeah, emigrated to Canada when he was young.
Really?
So he calls himself Canadian, but
he's a Scot.
He's just really a Scot.
Amazing.
Yeah. Full of interesting facts on this podcast.
Yeah, no, that's a great one to know. He's got a great book called How Music Works.
Okay.
Which covers like how he got the inspiration for the... It's all sorts of bits about his writing and stuff, like how he sits down to write a song, how he keeps himself writing in unique ways and stuff like that. It's a good read.
Great stuff. So Talking Heads headline your Fantasy Festival. They get to play for 2.5 hours, so they can fill out with hit after hit.
Yeah.
That'll be a great set. So at 11 o'clock, they'll finish. They'll welcome back on stage Marvin Gaye, Dizzy Rascal, Daft Punk, and Sister Rosetta Tharpe. That's a pretty decent lineup coming back onto your stage.
Yeah.
And they all get to play one song of your choice, which can be any song by any act.
Actually, it's a David Byrne song again.
Okay.
It's David Byrne and Brian Eno, and it's Strange Overtones.
Okay, I've not heard that song.
Well, I don't know why. I heard the song. I was listening to the song loads, and I love the song's amazing, and the lyrics are incredible. And then it was on the Wall Street 2 soundtrack. But I don't know if it was written for the Wall Street 2 soundtrack, but it seems like it's a bit of a juxtaposition kind of thing. But I just really love the song. It's... listen to it millions and millions and millions of times. I think it'd be a good, it's got a good rousing kind of, you know, emotive chorus that I think would suit the last throes of the festival.
Great stuff. So that brings your Fantasy Festival to a close. So you can still change your mind until we lock it in.
Okay.
You've got to lock it in now.
Can I change my mind about the name of the festival?
Yeah, of course you can.
All right, I'll do a bit of work on that.
So we've got Phil Halliday's festival. It's taking place at Main Road. In your opening act, we've got Sister Rosetta Tharpe.
Yeah.
Super Seconds, we've got Daft Punk.
Yeah.
Midway Man has got Dizzy Rascal. Pre-headline act, we've got Marvin Gaye. He's going to play What's Going On.
Yeah.
And in your headline act, we've got Talking Heads. And for your encore, they're all going to come out and play Strange Overtones to close your Fantasy Festival. Sounds good to me, Mr. Halliday. Are you happy to lock that one into the Fantastical
Vault? Yeah, go on. Do it. Get it booked.
It's booked. It's done. It is in our vault. So, That's it. That's how easy a Fantastical podcast is.
Thank you, Steve.
So thanks to everyone who's listened to the 77th episode of the Fantastical podcast and to the final one of 2021. If you've enjoyed this one, please subscribe. Give the Fantastical podcast a review on iTunes, or if you're listening on Spotify or Anchor, give the pod a follow. We are on Twitter, so make sure to follow us at FantasticalP. And if you're not on Twitter, you can email the pod at fantasticalpodcast@outlook.com. On podcast, can't play music, unfortunately.
Oh, can't you?
No, due to copyrights. But I'll get some tracks from of your chosen acts. We'll make a nice little Spotify playlist.
Great.
And if you get into anyone through this, go and order the albums, if you want to buy any, at store.hv.com. Yeah, absolutely. You're going to have to plug HV here, obviously. But, you know, there's some classic albums from Dizzy Rascal, from Talking Heads, from all your acts, basically. They're all available online, so we'll give that a big push. So, Phil, a huge thank you to you for coming on to the podcast.
Thank you, Steve.
My 77th guest. How did you find talking about music? Because I know, like, we've been speaking about it for a while. You've obviously kind of given quite a lot of thought to your lineups. How have you found it?
I've enjoyed it. I'm not used to doing podcasts and whatnot, so it's sort of, you know, it's less fluid than it will be in the pub in about 2 hours' time, Steve, I'm sure, and slightly less opinionated. But look, I could spend all day talking about music. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, great stuff. It's been a pleasure having you on, so thank you again.
Cheers, Steve. Thank you for having me, mate.
So I'll be back next year in mid-Jan with episode number 78, so please make sure to join me. But until then, have a wonderful Christmas and New Year. Stay safe, my fantastical friends, and please continue to spread the word. And that word is fantastical. Thanks for listening.